Welcome to our birthday footsteps meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and to our virtual intergroup OA Footsteps. My name is Claire. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I'll be your leader for this meeting. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. We welcome you to share it in your native language if you wish to truly celebrate the diversity of this global community. And everybody can unmute. God. And I think we're going to move right on to, could I have a volunteer please to read the 12 steps and the tradition of the month? I could screen share it, but if you have it in front of you, that would be really helpful.
I can do it, but I don't have it right in front of me. Let me get it. Okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood it. Praying only for knowledge for his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to our compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And then the 4th tradition is each group should be autonomous except in matters when affecting other groups or OA as a whole.
Thank you, Renee. The definitions in OA and the suggested guidelines for sharing will be posted into the chat. So, and it's a tradition and the announcements probably at some point. I would like to ask Alex, could you possibly read today's Voices of Recovery for us?
I will do so. And actually, I just want to show you something. Here is my Voices of Recovery. I got a little cover on it so I can read it anywhere and nobody has to see what I'm reading. But if I open it up, April 14th, it opens right to that page all the time. April 14th, we gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to making footprints of our own for others to follow. In the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, and it's not page 106. To say, I am grateful that all of you were here when I entered the doors of OA, and I'm grateful for the founders who left the first footprints for me to follow. I'm grateful for the other compulsive overeaters who are willing and happy to share their experience, strength, and hope. I am grateful I didn't have to walk the path alone. Eventually, I found that I could leave footprints for others to follow. I too had experience, strength, and hope to share. I'm always happy to share with others. We walk together on this path of recovery. We follow the footprints in the sand of those who have walked before us, and leave footprints for those yet to come.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Alex. So it's my incredible pleasure to introduce Nancy, who is one of our founding members of Footsteps. Would you like to come in and share with us, please, today, Nancy?
Sure. I'm Nancy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a grateful member of OA Footsteps. Happy birthday, OA Footsteps. This is just great. I mean, Alex and I have been partners for years. And I have to say that my part in, you know, being one of the founders was putting myself there. The brains that came from Alex, I put in a little bit of money and I stayed with it. But I want to tell you guys how important and how much gratitude that we owe to our higher power for, you know, getting us away footsteps and for Alex to be working tirelessly on getting things together and right. I mean, I started out in the 70s and I was in my 20s. I'm in my 70s now. And I was over 100 pounds overweight back then. And I had 5 years of abstinence. But I have to tell you that meetings were very well attended, face-to-face meetings. We could have like 40, 50, 60 people at each meeting. I lost my abstinence and all my weight came back after 5 years of back-to-back abstinence because I decided not to work the program. I just did a few things and yes, it all came back. And I kept trying to get back. And every time I went back to a meeting, there were fewer and fewer and fewer people to the point where I would show up at a meeting and there might be three people there and nobody was abstinent. Nobody was working on the program. In fact, they were working on the steps without having to put the food down first. They were hoping that if they worked enough steps that they would get their food plan together. You know, it's all important. It's not really mattering which way you do it. But what we noticed was when Alex and I and a girl named Jen had been going to this typing meeting, and I guess it's still going on, but I cannot type. I can't look at the screen and type. So I would just be typing my share away and I would look up at the screen and it looked like Martian. I could not type for the life of me. And Alex was so kind. Oh, we understand that kind of type. It's okay. I didn't even understand that kind of type. And it took forever. And I remember Alex talking about, and I may have this wrong, Alex, but I remember her talking about her finding a place called Zoom. And I, you know, it was so easy to keep hidden. I was so overweight that I could hide out in these typing meetings. Nobody ever saw me. There wasn't any video. There wasn't anything. And I thought, oh no, Alex, don't do this because I know in Zoom, there's like cameras and I don't want to show myself because I was 130 pounds overweight when I came back. And I was given a fatal diagnosis too. With my medical stuff. And I was just literally crawling back here. And we stayed in that typing thing for about a year, do you say? And, you know, I got my abstinence the very first day. And I haven't stopped since. But when we got footsteps going, you know, I thought in my mind, this is going to create a big monster of a place because I knew it was so right. It was so right because if you want to stay for whatever reason, you know, maybe you're in your pajamas or whatever it is behind the screen and not show up, it's perfectly okay. And if you want to show up, that's great too. So when we got to our first meeting, when we first met each other, it was the three of us, and we had been talking with each other every single day in this other meeting, and we finally saw each other. I wouldn't come on screen. And then I saw Alex, and then I saw the other person, and then I thought, I can do it. I can turn on the screen. I can come out of hiding now. And I did, and we all cried, but Alex cried the most, I have to say. So it was such an aha moment that we were all not perfect, that we're all in this together, and that there are other people. You know, I was so into myself, I was sure I was going to be the fattest person in the room. And sometimes I was, but I turned on that screen and I never turned it off again, ever. I never want to go into hiding because that's where I lived my life, in hiding. It was behind closed doors in my house. If anybody came up to my house, I did not open the door or anything. I never, ever, ever want to go back to that again. And OA Footsteps made it possible for many people to come, and many different kinds of strategies with different kinds of meetings, like body dysmorphia and what have you. Well, I have no idea how many meetings are here now, but I know it's a lot. And there's something for everybody. And I would like to put in a little plug for my Saturday meeting, because I was taught by the big book. We did not have any kind of books whatsoever. You know, we had the big book, the AA big book to work from back then. And I learned everything from the AA big book, just substituting the words alcohol for food or alcoholic for compulsive overeater. And I learned quite a lot from that. And I always remembered them saying that in order to work the program, put down the drink first, because it's otherwise it's, and this is what I just remember, otherwise it's like an alcoholic who's still drinking, trying to figure out his life. And I always remembered that, how important abstinence was. And for me, it really is. I needed to put that food down, and quickly, because my diagnosis was terminal cancer. And I was at my heaviest at the time. And I asked the doctor, I said, could my fat and could my, the way I ate, have caused this? And I really thought she was going to tell me, no, dear, don't blame yourself. And she said, yes. And I went home like a true alcoholic, true compulsive overeater, and I ate everything in sight that was sugary and salty. And then I was in a wheelchair. I rolled myself over to the computer because I said, God, what am I going to do? I hadn't called on God for 45 years. God, what am I going to do? And I just got a download. See if it's online. See if OA is online. Nothing else has ever worked for you. Nothing else has ever taken the cravings away from you. You may have lost weight, but you didn't keep the weight off and the cravings came back. OA, I knew if I was going to work the program, as it is said, it would work for me. And I know why I lost it. I do know why I lost it. So I came back, did the typing program, and then OA Footsteps came. And how wonderful is this, that we can go to a meeting almost any time of the day or night. We have friends that we have never met, and yet Alex and I have known each other for years. We've never met. And, you know, we've been friends. We're probably forever friends because of this program. It doesn't matter that we haven't met each other in program. This is wonderful. It's really wonderful for, you know, when we had the pandemic, but it's also wonderful for people like me that has, that can't get out. And I can always have an OA Footsteps Zoom meeting forever. When it's cold and it's wintry out and it's slippery and, you know, you're not a spring chicken, and, you know, I can just tune right in and see all the friends that I've known for years. This is a God thing. This is a higher power thing. And for me, it has been nothing but something that helped save my life. They had given me 15 months. And now I'm going on 6 years, and I feel better than I have in my entire life. And I've lost 130 pounds and have kept it off. And I have to tell you the absolute truth from day one. Now, okay, let me do the absolute truth. After day one, I have not had any cravings for all these years. None. It's like, you know, I can't even put it into words. After being totally obsessed with eating and it wasn't on the surface of killing myself with food, but that's exactly what I was doing. You know, even my sugars, anybody that has diabetes, my A1C was 15. That's like unheard of. And I was taking 180 units of insulin, and that was only the slow acting insulin. Then I was taking fast acting insulin on top of that. And then I was taking pills on top of that. And then when I wanted to eat, I'd give myself a little more of a shot, you know, so I could go ahead and eat. How crazy is this? How harmful is this disease? How fatal is this disease? And we owe a debt of gratitude, I believe. I will always have it in my heart for Alex, because she put the real grunt work into doing this. And I am so excited she introduces me as one of the co-founders, because I feel like I've done nothing but just go along. So she is the Bill Wilson, I'm the Dr. Bob, and there we go. So thank you. I don't know if I used up my time, but thank you so much for allowing me to speak, and happy birthday, everybody.
Thank you so much, Nancy. That was wonderful. And Alex, another founder of Footsteps, would you like to share with us now, please?
I would love it if Lisa G was in the room with us, though, when we start here. Sorry. I'm Alex. I am a compulsive eater, and I am gratefully in recovery one day at a time, and I am so, so grateful to be here. I'm just going to place the spotlight. There we go. I've been talking all day. I panicked last night at about 2:30 in the morning that I was going to have to talk at 3 meetings today. And oh my God, what was I going to talk about? And I wrote, like, I stayed up all night writing like 7-8 pages of notes that I have barely looked at all day. And yet when I look back on them, I think I've covered a lot of it already. So I'm getting a bit of static here. There we go. So what I really want to talk about is that first day. Maybe I'll go back to meeting my fellows at, it was at 12 Step for Co's, the typewriting meeting, and there's a few members here that are from that time, and I'm so glad to see all of you here. And it's funny, because just even in a typing meeting, it still created a bond. We still shared recovery, and we got to know each other and stepped into each other's lives and enjoyed really carrying friendships and recovery fellowship through just typing. And, you know, and it really didn't matter what your skill was in typing. It was just the fact that you were there and sharing your recovery to the best of your ability, and it worked. I knew a Nancy at the meeting. I really liked this Nancy. Her and I chatted quite a bit. And so one night I was sitting there, and Nancy came into the chat room, and I went, of course, I can't see who it is, right? I just see the word Nancy. And I go, Nancy, you're here. I was so excited. This new Nancy. Hi. But our friendship just hit the ground running from that moment forward, I think. but the typing did have its limitations. Like at that point, I had gotten so sick. Because I had chronic illness and I wasn't able to attend physical meetings anymore. I had actually been socially isolating since 2009. So my world at that point had to go completely virtual. As try as I could. I could not go to real time face to face because it would just make me too ill. So this typewriting was my lifeline meetings. I was really struggling with the food behaviors when I came to program. I could give up foods pretty easily, but I couldn't give up the behaviors. That was the really, the jonesing moments for me, was giving up behaviors, just that hand-to-mouth thing, right? And when I gave up foods, it was always relatively easy. It was just navigating my day, eating just 3 abstinent meals a day. I had to have hypoglycemic snack at night, and then my sponsor and I decided to allow an emergency snack, which I hardly reused once I knew I could have it. But before I could have that, I was just like my days were just brutal to get through. Like it took a while to get rid of those cravings. And so I had to go to these meetings sometimes upwards of 4 to 6 times a day just to get through my day, you know. And but it was limiting. And so, but it was through that intergroup that I got put onto an ad hoc committee to explore video channels to do the business meetings with our intergroup on. And I have to admit, I really didn't understand what an intergroup was then, or what ad hoc committee I was even on. I just thought, sure, okay. So off we went, and me and another couple of fellows, we explored a couple of these channels. And I said earlier today, we got to Zoom. We tried WhatsApp. There was limitations. We tried, I think, Skype maybe. But we got to Zoom, and it was like choirs of angels. It was just the easiest channel to load into. My eyes were like big as saucers going, oh, my God, can we have meetings here? And I was so excited. But, of course, that wasn't to happen at that intergroup. Unfortunately, it just wasn't, you know, they've been so established as just a strictly MIRC meeting that they weren't at that point, you know, kind of willing to kind of explore behind that. And that's fine. I mean, I think one day footsteps will be obsolete too. There'll be hologram meetings taking place. So we're going to go, oh no, you newfangled young people, we're not doing hologram meetings. I see it. I can already see it happening. So just be warned, guys. They're coming one day. But the best thing happened, though, right? Because they said no to me, and I was devastated. I was just so broken. I walked away just so forlorn from that meeting. And I went to my friend Nancy and my other friend Jen, and I think I invited a few others, but they didn't really know what I was talking about. But I managed to coerce Jen and Nancy to do this first meeting with me on April 14th, 2019. And I did ball. Oh my God. Seeing Jen, first of all, was amazing. Like, and I didn't expect Nancy to turn the camera on. I really didn't. But then she did. And that was me. I think I barely got a word out edgewise after that. But I did read the reading. And as I was reading the reading, you know, you walk in the footsteps of those who've gone before us. I started bawling again. I said, oh my God, you guys, that's the name of our meeting. We'll call ourselves OA Footsteps. And that was my very first group conscience, and nobody disagreed with me. So there we go. Things changed after that, but that was a good start. What an amazing place since then. We had some really, like, early members came over from MIRC. A few of them are here and started some of those first meetings. We only had maybe 2, 3, 4 meetings a week to start. Then I got into trouble because I hadn't registered the meetings. Who knew you were supposed to register these things, right? And then because we had more than one meeting in our group, we were supposed to register as an intergroup. How are we supposed to do that? Like, all of this was brand new, and there wasn't a lot of instruction, just because there wasn't a lot of virtual intergroups. The ones that were there were old timers, like the phone ones and the MIRC. And this was carving a whole new path. And so we just piecemealed it together, like one little inch at a time, trying to figure out how to do this. And it was hard work. It was I probably at one point was doing about 80 hours a week easily on this intergroup the first year. And it was financed for that first year by 2 or 3 of us, I think. We paid for all the expenses, the website, the Zoom. Like, we managed to fund it, to get it established, which was really good, because nowadays that's just completely not even a concept anymore. And I want to do a real shout out to a fellow that is here today who went above and beyond and went to OA.org and put in an application that gave us permission to use that reading, that full page from April 14th from Voices of Recovery. We can use it on our website. It's called Exceptional Privilege by Overeaters Anonymous. So I just want to just say thank you, Lisa, for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, and But it wasn't just that. There was like other people just popping up to the surface, each bringing their own brand of service. And, you know, service has been such a pivotal part of my recovery. Like, you know, I've done the step work and I've worked with my sponsor and I've worked with all the tools and all of that. But service seems to be a great channel to put it all to work. The more service you do, the quicker, more work you have to do to make it work, right? And you have to, and it starts to cure you. Like, and I want to say cure is in healing, but also cure is in like fine wine or something that's, you know, left to cure for a long period of time, but becomes more and more magnificent each year passes. But I think service just sort of just puts it into a pressure cooker, makes it even better, faster, because you have to know your traditions. You have to know your steps. You have to know your concepts of service as you start to move into the different realms of service. Because OA, there's no real rules, but there's the guidelines that kind of guide us all by a greater group conscience that's divinely sent by our higher power, you know. And it's throughout all of the service work, you know, channeling all the things that we're learning and all the changes that we're making in our brain, all these little pathways in our brain that are learning ways of doing things, becoming more gentle, more kind to ourselves, more kind to people around us. I mean, I'm still a work in progress, and I'm still very imperfect in how I do this, but I'm a lot better than I was that first year. And I'm sure some of you could attest to that. I'm better than my second year and my third year too, but it's been a process that's created something in me that I don't even recognize. And then from that, you know, the joy of this program, just suddenly I don't have that negative self-chatter that was so cruel and abusive to myself all the time. I have to sort of look and go, yeah, it's kind of quiet in there, you know. It's just this gentle place that I'm learning to work from. And I'm learning to be so grateful for, oh God, of course, all of my great experiences that I've had in OA, but all of my difficult ones too are equally a blessing in my life. You know, I talked about this morning, and I'll go back to it because it's my favorite analogy right now. I used to be all about gardens, garden analogies. Some of you might remember that from 12 Step for Co's and my garden analogies. Now I'm about oysters. I'm all about oysters, not food oysters. Oysters as the animal that takes that grain of sand inside its shell. And we could choose to be torn apart by that, shredded by it. All that negative emotion, and it's uncomfortable and icky. We don't want to feel it. We want to push it out, but it's stuck in there and it won't leave us. And then, or we can let higher power make that into a pearl, and we just have to let it be there, feel it, let it be part of who we are, and learn what we need to do from it. And gradually it gets transformed into this treasure, this precious jewel that we get to keep with us and carry with us. And I look back now at all of these experiences that I would have thought, oh, I don't like that. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to feel this. And I'm looking at all of those difficult circumstances and going, oh my God, what amazing gifts they were, and what they taught me and how they grew me into who I've become. And I am grateful for every single one of them, all of them. And I'm so blessed by that. I'm so grateful that I've had the most difficult of life lessons, because the more difficult they were, the bigger the pearl, you know. And I swear I'm leaving this life with just dripping in these pearls. It's my new motto. What else am I going to talk about? I think I've gone through so many of my things, I don't even know what I wanted to. I was going to talk a little bit about just where we got to, right, from our first year anniversary. I think we had about 20 meetings, I think, Yeah, I think 21 meetings or somewhere in there, because I'd written that in my first years. We did a little newsletter up from that. So on our second year, I think we were getting close to 60 or 70 at that point. That was April 2021. So, of course, that was just after the pandemic hit. And people were gravitating towards us kind of fast and furious. Things really took a whole other sweep at that point. And at our third anniversary now, we are, I think last time I checked last week, was about 152 meetings, right? And we're growing every day. I just saw three or four more new ones coming in just over the last couple of days. So, but the rewards of those last 3 years are beyond anything I could ever have possibly imagined for myself, ever. I just, when I look at what we've become as a fellowship, as a service body within OA, and the amount of service we help, like there's the numbers of our meetings are like, I mean, I know a lot of people go into meetings more than once through the day. So this is kind of conflated a little bit, but we have at least about six to 800 people a day. I can't remember the numbers around that time, around that level. And my words are starting to get all bored after today. per day using our rooms, coming into our meetings and stuff like that. And I don't even have the numbers on the additional platforms that have joined us that I don't have access to numbers. So we could probably be over 1,000 a day, people that are coming to Footsteps for meetings. And
gentle reminder.
So I am so grateful that I was part of this process, that I had some great people just from the start, each one of them as dedicated as the next, because every single one of the people that have been here, like Nancy says, she didn't help, but she ran this meeting on Saturdays religiously ever since we started. Like, it's just never stopped. And I've started lots of meetings, but I haven't stuck with them. I've moved on to other things. I'll start this one. Oh, I'll go start this one. But she, I mean, there's room for all kinds of service. You know, the steadfast and true to one solid meeting, or the ones that can dip their hands in all sorts of different things, and the ones that just aren't afraid to reach for something that might take them out of their comfort zone. And so if you're interested in all service, come talk to me. I've got a few things you might be interested in doing. I'm sure we could find a place for you somewhere, some way, as we do. I'm so grateful to see your faces. And I just love being here. I needed this for me. And I've got, my higher power has been so generous for what I've been blessed with and for all of us. So I'm just very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. And now my great pleasure to introduce Lisa, a very early beginning member of OA Footsteps. Take it away, Lisa.
That would be me, right? I'm not sure if it's one Lisa. Wow, thank you so much. Please just let me know when I've spoken too much, if I'm not sure on the time. My name is Lisa, compulsive overeater, food addict, and so happy and honored to be here today, to be here and to celebrate our April 14th birthday. Last night, I started to go through my WhatsApp and I said, when did we have that subcommittee meeting? And I looked it up and it was February of 2019. And it was three of us in that subcommittee, which, you know, shout out to subcommittees. They, you know, all committees and all members of, you know, everything has input and creates change. And that one little meeting, three people, and it was because of an IRC meeting, a text meeting. We were having, I believe, I could be wrong, but we were having business meetings and they were done by text. And I was starting to get frustrated because if people were out and about or you needed to listen, you couldn't really do that because you had to read on the screen. So we wanted to find a more effective way to hold a business meeting, I believe, because there was only a few people in the business meeting where, you know, you need to have a certain number for quorum. So we in the subcommittee, we were researching all different ways. I even saw something there about WeChat too. There was every single platform. I think Skype was mentioned earlier as well. WhatsApp, non-real-time meetings versus video meetings. Everything was on the table. So it was really interesting. And I know there was a definite, you know, affinity towards Zoom, but, you know, everything still needed to be explored. So it was good for me just to be in a subcommittee and to learn processes and how program and OA and everything works, because it's not just one person's decision to do something. It's actual, okay, let's start a committee for this. I remember one of my sponsors once saying, you know, if you have something to say or you want to complain about something, then guess what? You just got yourself on a subcommittee, you know? And, you know, it turned out great. And so I remember being in that meeting with Alex, and I think Alex, you know, thank you, Alex, for everything. Oh my God, such a visionary. And I think you already knew what you were going to do, and you were going to go for it, because that was in February, and then Footsteps was up and running by April. So that just goes to show you timing wise. So that was really exciting to be a part of that. And then I remember coming in shortly after that, we, you know, starting a couple meetings. It always felt so good to start some of the meetings. And I remember one of them was the body image meeting. And at the time, they're small meetings. So small meetings, size doesn't really matter. Like, you could have really huge meetings and they could have a different kind of feel, and really small meetings. And at that time, I believe we had like maybe 10 people in the meeting. So we would do three rounds of sharing, you know, one about positive mood kind of things, and another about body image, how we felt about our bodies and how recovery, how we were connecting to our higher power. And then the third was about turning over like a plan of action, just off the top of my head. I believe that's what it was. And then I remember we must have been in that meeting. All of a sudden, when the pandemic hit, that meeting turned from 15, 20 people to it was breaking the ceiling at 100. So we had to go to the intergroup and ask for a different Zoom platform. And there was a whole process again. It's all about processes. And we had to go and, you know, ask for, you know, that ceiling to change the Zoom type of room. And then that body image meeting became very big. There was no room for three rounds of sharing at all. I think it was 2 minutes even of sharing, but it became, I think the meeting's still on today. And not only is that meeting on today, but there's quite a few body image meetings as well. And the body image OA body image book came out during this time as well. So it was just really nice to be a part of that process. And then I also remember when we would have intergroup, you know, we'd get together and try to, you know, make some decisions, and it was small still. And I remember there being maybe five to seven meetings. And I'm the type of person that's just, you know, going to speak before I really think. And I was like, oh, we need to put it up on the web. You know, we were trying to do a website too. And this is why it's so powerful where we are today, because there's so many service people. What OA Footsteps has done and become is just so amazing to me. And that takes everybody. That is what did my old mentor used to say, it takes a village. Well, OA Footsteps definitely has a village. But at that time, there was only a few people. And I remember saying, just put it up on the website, just get them, put the meetings up, like just list them, you know, so people knew. And Alex was one person who'd be like, but we need a schedule, because in her head, she knew already that there was going to be so many meetings that you couldn't just list them, because they were going to change. The time zones were going to change. If somebody added a new meeting, you would have had to have changed that whole website again. And it was just funny. It's like, so I never really push anything, because I love to sit back and learn and be teachable. And like, wow, we went from five meetings to over 150 meetings in just a couple of years. It just really blows my mind. It's just so amazing. So I wanted to talk about that. And then also, Alex mentioned getting permission, because I remember at that time, and still today, there's always copyright issues, and, you know, we don't want to upset, it's the law, and not just the law, but also within OA, we want to respect certain things and respect traditions. And so I know we did, we're very careful. And so we did write in, and it's nice to know, you know, that upside down service triangle, world service is at the bottom of that triangle. And then as you work your way up, the regions and then the intergroups, and then the meeting is at the top, because the most important part is the meeting, is everyone who comes, for example, to OA, OA Footsteps is the intergroup, but all the people that come in to those meetings. So each one from the bottom up services the next. So world service services the region service the intergroup, the intergroups serve the meetings, which is us. So it was nice to see that come full forward. And what did they say? With exceptional privilege. We really liked that. And I love that we're able to use those words and be able to quote them. That was really a nice feeling. Some of the things that I wanted to mention that have been so important for me, I've during the beginning of the pandemic, I remember I had more free time, which I'm sure a lot of people did. And so I remember being part of, you know, having a bigger part of OA Footsteps and also at the virtual region too. And that was really great. And I was able to go to those daytime meetings, and it was really nice to be a part of everything. And then when we had to get back to work over here, my life changed in that I had to get, you know, I had to do something different, because what I was doing before wasn't very COVID friendly. So I had to change careers, and I just don't have that time during the day. And so I was starting to slip away from some of those daytime meetings and maybe just trying to catch some certain meetings at night. And then I remember, well, first of all, I can never leave OA, because the fellowship that we're a part of, like fellowship is it's family, you know, and people that I've met all along the way from or very early meetings, even text meetings all the way up to today, I would never choose to live without. Like, that is one of probably my most favorite part about recovery and about the whole entire program altogether would be fellowship. But I remember Alex talking to me about Creative Reprieve, and also that, again, we were starting some night meetings there too. So I was really happy to be able to take a different look at my recovery and a different way, because I, for example, wasn't able to connect as well with my meditation portion. And then through the Creative Reprieve meetings, I was able to use art, which, you know, I'm not that kind of person who's like been an artist. I would never even identify myself really as an artist, maybe a creative type, but not necessarily an artist. But I was learning to use all different tools now as a form of meditation and connecting with my higher power. So it really brought me to a different level. And I'm looking at these Creative Reprieve meetings going, oh, there was one, and now there's one every day at 11 o'clock, and now there's almost one every night at 8 o'clock, and I could see where this is going as well. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of this again, and, you know, to be just surrounded by people who are I'm in a lot of these chats, but I don't participate as much because I can't keep up sometimes, but I do read along, and I'm like, oh my God, like everybody that participates in all these different leader chats and regular chats and oh my God, everything. There's so many people that are making this work that are all part of my recovery. They don't even, oh my God, I have no idea, like, that somebody might write something and I'll be like, oh my God, that really affected me and that changed something in me. And sometimes I'll say something, I'll private message somebody, and other times I just won't. And people will never know. But everybody that comes to these meetings are part of non-real-time meetings, real-time meetings, Zoom meetings, everything. They've all definitely affected me one way or another. And these people I'm very fond of are people that I might not even know, and people that might even be off screen. And I, you know, that, like, everybody has affected me, and it's added to my recovery. My recovery might not be exactly where, you know, I want it to be, but again, it goes back to, I have a support I have something that's a support system in my life. It's my family. It's fellowship. I have a blueprint. I have steps. I have traditions, concepts, and principles. And I wouldn't trade it in for anything. I just have to say that. I wouldn't trade it in for anything. I am so grateful for OA Footsteps. And when we read meetings and we close out, I'm so proud, really, to say, you know, you can find, you know, meetings on OA.org and also on OAFootsteps.com. I always love saying that because, you know, it's just so important to understand, like, in the big picture. So we're part of the virtual region. We're part of 14 plus virtual intergroups with under that virtual region umbrella. And OA Footsteps has just grown substantially and it's really reached so many people. It's a blessing, really. I'm really grateful for everyone here today. Anybody who listens to this, Alex, I tremendous amount of respect in every which way. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. And with that, I guess I will pass. Thank you. Thanks for having me here today. Appreciate it.
So thank you so much for all of your wonderful shares today. The seventh tradition and the announcements will be posted at some point in the chat. I would now like to invite anybody who wishes to share about their experience, strength and hope, and in particular, how Footsteps has molded your recovery.